Simon Kof Tzadi Vav. We're in the middle of Sif Gimel. Right, what had we read in Sif Gimel? We had seen, A, there's an inyan of washing before the Shivna Kiyam. That's not a halachic obligation. It's just a good idea to wash externally before the Shivna Kiyam. Just to get rid of any old blood, so that you'll see if any new blood comes or not. It's not ma'akev. Nowadays, we have pretty good hygiene. We wash all the time, so it's not such a big deal. Then we had seen the inyan of wearing clean or white clothing, right? The Machaber says clean clothing. The Ramah says white clothing. We paskin based on the end of the Ramah that lechatchila wear white clothing. Bidyeved. Clean clothing is good enough, or b'shasavcha, clean clothing is good enough, like the Ramah himself concludes. And I think the other thing we had mentioned was, here it talks about white sheets also. In the old days, all our grandmothers got white sheets for whatever reason. Back in Europe, they had white sheets for Shivna Kiyam. Nowadays, the minhag is that people generally sleep in underwear, and since you have white underwear, you don't need white sheets, so there's really no need for anyone to own white sheets unless that's their fashion choice. And probably not a good idea because when you're not in Shivna Kiyam, you don't want white sheets because you don't want a problem with summon. So it's easier to just have colored sheets and not worry about it. I don't remember if we had discussed this last point, but what about wearing colored b'shas adchak? So the Ramah says here that b'shas adchak, you can wear colored. It's only l'chatchila wear white. If you wear colored underwear, then, as we'll see, if she has a kesem during Shivna Kiyam on colored underwear, it won't make her tmeya. So how does wearing colored underwear help? After all, she'll still be able to get away with ksamim, and then how is she keeping Shivna Kiyam? She'll wear colored underwear, she'll find lots of ksamim, and she'll be okay. So how does that help us double-checking her Shivna Kiyam, right? And the Mechaber does not require white at all, and even the Ramah doesn't require white if you're stuck and you don't have any white underwear with you. So the answer is that really the main point of clean clothing Shivna Kiyam is not to catch ksamim, right? L'chatchila we wear white. But the Iker Hadin is that you don't need clothing that will catch ksamim during Shivna Kiyam. The main point of the clean underwear during Shivna Kiyam is that if she sees any blood on the underwear, she'll think as to whether she had a hagasha or not. And then she'll realize if she was nitma midaraisa or not. That's the main point. The main point is to catch blood by hagasha, which is tomadaraisa. The main point is not to catch ksamen. And therefore, when you don't have any white clothing, you're allowed to wear colored underwear, even though it won't be mitame yemi ksamen, because catching ksamim is not the ikar hadin of Shivna Kiyam. The ikar din of Shivna Kiyam is just be careful of any blood that comes by hargasha.
So the concern that she's going to become a new nida again?
Or that blood by hargasha will be so sir her Shivna Kiyam.
But what I'm saying is, if when she started her nida, she had a hargasha, presumably she said she had a hargasha, she felt that she started her nida, then she finished. Is this understanding of hargasha saying that every time blood
comes out? Yes, we'll get to that in a second, but yes. Okay. Now, here's the controversial part. You're allowed to wear colored b'shas adchak. What counts as shas adchak? So our mother's example, shas adchak, is you're on a business trip and you don't have any white underwear, so what are you supposed to do? So that's for sure. Shas adchak, you just happen to not have white underwear, so you use colored underwear, as long as it's clean. That's fine. What about shas adchak of you're trying to get out of ksamim? You're afraid that there'll be a little spot that'll be a kesem, so you wear colored underwear b'shas adchak to get out of ksamim. So is that okay? Because like a shas adchak, you don't want to be nitma through summon. So, simple shot is no. Meaning, shas adchak of wearing colored underwear is if you don't have white underwear. But if you're davka trying to get around summon, even though we said me'ikar hadin, you don't have to have underwear that will catch if you have atomic summon during Shivna Kiyam. But, l'chatchila, we paskin need white underwear during Shivna Kiyam, and you shouldn't try to get around summon during Shivna Kiyam. During Yemei Tara, after you go to the mikvah, until you get your period, then you should wear colored underwear dafka to try to have excuses to get out of Tumas Ksamim. But in Shiva Nikiyam, Lechatila, you're not supposed to make excuses to get out of Tomas Ksamim. And therefore, if someone just says, well, I might have a drop of blood here and there and lose another day or two through Ksamim, and therefore I don't want to, so I can wear colored underwear during Shiva Nikiyam, that is not okay, because that's going against the spirit of the halacha. It's not going against the Ikar Din Doraisa, but it's not going against the Ikar Din B'dieved, but it's going against the spirit of the halacha, so that's not okay.
We're not talking about someone who is staining on patrol. We're talking about like the purposely to try and not. I mean, if someone has like a.
So hold on. So give me a second. So lemaisa, are there times when we permit colored underwear during Shiva? And you're talking to answer your question. We permit colored underwear during Shiva Nikiyam. Davka to avoid tumas ksamim, so that if there's a kesem, she won't be nitma, which is against the spirit of the halacha. So there are two cases when we would be mako. One is when she's afraid of ksamim from a maka or from a maka, but we won't be sure if it's a maka. Then we're not really going against the spirit of the halacha. She's not trying to avoid being nitma by menstrual blood. She's trying to avoid a problem of an unclear that she's probably from a maka anyway, and we're just going to get into halachic problems. So then it makes sense. If someone has a maka and it's going to get them shilas during Shiva Nikiyam, but intuitively we know it's just from the maka, and to avoid getting the shilas, she can wear colored underwear, and that's okay, because it's really, she's just trying to avoid technical problems for a maka. She's not really trying to avoid, you know, being nitma through menstrual blood. So that, in that case, let's say a woman says, you know, I have this maka, every day of Shiva Nikiyam I'm going to have shilas, tliya b'maka, not tliya b'maka, it's going to be complicated. So then she can wear colored underwear because it's not really going against the point of the halacha. What about, no, she's just mamish afraid of little drops of menstruation, not large amounts of menstruation. That counts as a hargasha. She's afraid of little staining a day after day after day after day, and she does not be able to go to the mikvah and be with her husband, like mamish 180 degrees against the spirit of the halacha. Are you allowed to wear colored underwear for that reason? So, generally not, but it depends how big of a shasad chak. If it's a very big shasad chak, then we can be makel even in that case. But then you have to use your judgment. Is it a shasad chak or a very big shasad chak? If a woman just says, you know, it's going to be a few days later going to mikvah and it's not nice for me to be tummy so long, then you say you have to wear white underwear anyway because, you know, Shiva Nikiyam, you're not supposed to try to get out of things. You're supposed to find things. But if it's actually never going to be able to go to the mikvah, it's going to be a tremendous problem in their marriage, then there's room to remake it. If it's a tremendous shasad chak, even to wear colored underwear in a way that's mamish against the spirit of the law, because you're makayim the letter of the law.
Is there any reason to say that someone should wear something white that's not going to be...
Okay, so good. Now here's the question. What about wearing something that's white but doesn't catch ksamim? Right? Which is mamish the lechachila of the Ramah. Such as a pad or a panty liner, which we possibly is not makabel toma. So what about wearing something white that's not makabel toma? So and this gets more complicated because that's better than colored. Mamish, you're doing what the Ramah says white. No one ever, you're doing lochachila. No one ever said you have to wear something makabel toma. Yeah.
Isn't it like obvious that was just like?
Yeah, correct. But no one ever said it. That was what everyone wore, but no one ever said it. Lemaisa, yes, very willing about this. He says there are two different cases. You have to distinguish two cases. One case is where a woman wears a panty liner, not in order to avoid ksamim, just because she has non-red secretions, and it can be uncomfortable. And for comfort, she wears a panty liner. There can be all different reasons why people would wear pads or even a pad in case of, you know, other problems. Or panty liners, not because she wants to avoid ksamim, just because it she needs it for her hygiene and comfort because of other secretions. Okay, then it's heter gomer. She's doing what the Ramah says white. She's not trying to go against the spirit of the law. That's for sure okay. What if she's only wearing panty liners because she's afraid of ksamim and she wants to avoid ksamim? Then that's going against the spirit of the law, so it's not lechachila. And a big shasad chak, there's room to be mekel, but it's not lechachila. Okay, so pasim is very willing. It's not really discussed by the classic achronim. They didn't have this mitzvah, as Kesky points out. But he says wearing white panty liners, if it's for innocent reasons, heter gomer. No one said you're not allowed to wear the comfortable clothing for you just because it happens to not be mekabel tumah. If it's specifically to avoid Tumas Ksamim, then only in a real Shasad Chak. Not just Stam to Chapadei. Okay. That is Sif Gimel. Sif Dalet. B'chol Yomi Shiva Shiva Sphira. How do we have a Kiyom of Sphira Shiva Nikiyom? So the main Kiyom of Sphira Shiva Nikiyom, right? You have to have a Hefzik Tara beforehand. So the 7 days are nothing. But besides that, the main Kiyom of Sphira Shiva Nikiyom is through Bedikos. Okay, the Mishnah has a big Machlokas Tanoim. How many Bedikos you need? Bidyevet. Right? But what about Lechachila? So it's pretty clear in the Mishnah. It's abundantly clear in the Mishnah that lechachila you have to do a bedika every day, because the Mishnah says here on daf samachesim beis hazava zava shabad kwatzman zava zava zarkesh shivin akim, right? We're all zavas because of chomer zera. Biyom rishon matzotar biyom shvi matzotar shariyom shemusayim lo badku. Then you have a three-way machlokes tanaim, and we paskin that it's fine, right? But if you look at the loss of the Mishnah, she checked herself the first day and the seventh day and didn't check the other days. Sounds pretty clear, like she was exposed to check the other days, right? She didn't check the other days, meaning she normally would have, most people do. So a pashup shot in the Mishnah is that you're chayv le'achila to check every day of Shiva Nikiyam. Do a bedik every day of Shiva Nikiyam. And that is what the Mechaber starts out. It says, b'chol yom yishivash me'asfira tshricha li'os bodekas l'chachila. Okay, this is pretty much everyone. The truth is that the Balamor, or not in the Sefer Balamor, but in his Hasagos of Mali Nefesh, is making on this. But most Rishonim say that you have to do Bedika every day. However, there are some Rishonim who add to that. So, how about Lechatchila? Lechatchila, how many Bedikas do you have to do? Every day. That is the opinion of all of the Rishonim Svarad. And half the Rishonim Ashkenaz. Right, so for example, just we'll give some examples. Tosos and the Rush and the Ramban and the Rashba all say once a day. However, a significant number of Rishonei Ashkenaz came up with a Chiddush. They never said what their mucker was in Shas. But the Smag and the Smak and the Sefer Truma and the Mordechai and one or two others said twice a day. Okay, this is the Sefer HaTruma, the Smag, the Smak, and the Mordechai. So half Rishonei Ashkenaz said twice a day. Where did they get twice a day from? We're not sure. The Beis Yosef suggests, and I don't have a better suggestion, that they got it from the Mishnah in the first parak about Taros. It says, back in the days of Taros, a woman would check herself every morning and every evening. So nowadays, we don't have Taros. We don't check every morning and every evening. But at least during Shiva Nikiyam, that shows that when you're checking, it's twice a day. So therefore, that shows that in Shiva Nikiyam, when we check, you should do it twice a day. So that's probably their mukkar. The mukkar of most Rishonim is from the Mishnah, which says, implies that they should have done it, they should have done it once a day, and the mukkar of the Smag, etc., is from the first parak in the days of Taros, and they did twice a day. So in the days of Taros, they did twice a day every day. We should do twice a day during Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, could be. And how does the Mechaber Paskin? He passes the Chumrah, even though there's no Sfardim on this side. He thinks, Lechadchila, it's a good Chumrah. Tzricha li'os bodekes, Lechadchila, pa'mayim b'chol yom, achas shachris, achas shomot, b'en ha'shmashos. Once in the morning and once before Shkia. Why? Because we'll see the Kiyom of, the Iker Kiyom of Shiva Nikiyam is during the day. The Iker Kiyom of Sfira is generally during the day in Halacha. And therefore, she should do them both during the day. Once first thing in the morning and once last thing before sunset. Okay, that is the Lechachila. We are Machmir, like, even though it's really, if you count everything up, it seems to be a minority position, but Lechachila, we are Machmir. Okay, Rabbi Willig is famous for a Kula, and this is Lechachila. What does Lechachila mean? Lechachila means, like, if you can, if it's not difficult, if it's not a Shasat Chak, etc. If it's Shasad Chak, then we do it with, then we'd be more Mekel in Bedikos. And again, what do we mean by Shasad Chak? So the Navi Yehuda says, Avada, we won't make her do Bedikos every day or twice a day. If it hurts, that's a Shasad Chak. Or if it's liable to scratch her and make a maka. So that's a Shasad Chak. But Shasad Chak, so she doesn't have to do a Bedika every day. What about, parallel to the last question we have, What about, no, it doesn't hurt. It's not going to cause a maka. The only problem is she might find blood. And then she won't be able to go to the mikveh and be with her husband. Does that count as a shasat chak? So that is legamrei against the whole idea of shivmikiyah. The bedikah is to find blood. You can say, it's a shasat chak. I don't want to do bedikahs every day because I might find blood. No, that's the point. That's against the spirit of the law. If it's shasat chak, it hurts to do bedikahs. That's a good shasat chak. So go to the bedikah of it. If it's shasat chak, it causes a maka, go to the bedikah of it. But if the shasat chak that I just don't want to do what the halacha intends for me to do, so that we would say, no, still do all the bedikos l'chakila, unless it's a very big shasat chak and you really have no choice in the matter, and then there's room to be mekel, but it would have to be obviously a super big shasat chak to go against the spirit of the halacha in this case and move down to bedieved when your mom is just trying to avoid the spirit of the halacha. So he's makel to just do. What happens in a big in a shasat chak? In a shasat chak, we can move down to. We'll get to it in a second. We'll come back to it. But let's say one.
Staying for once a day or
staying? No, makel to less than once a day. Just one on day one, and one on day seven, and one on the middle days, as we'll explain. Just three bedikos during Shiva Nikia, with shasat chak, and we'll explain why. But okay, so again, lechatchila twice a day. Rabbi, oh, this is not very willing. This is standard, right? So what do we say, Rabbi Willig? I apologize. I skipped the note. Rabbi Willig has a famous kula where he says that you just do once a day. You can hold like most of the Rishonim. Okay, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is that often when people, women specifically, it's the winter time and they're at work and it's very stressful and it becomes very difficult for them. And what happens when it becomes very difficult for someone? So they get very stressed and they get very tense and then if they try to do a bedika, they end up making a maka because they're so tense and so closed up and so stressed. And therefore, it's not when it's very difficult for them and it's a very difficult experience. And therefore, it's very hard sometimes with the pace of modern life to do twice a day in the morning. So you get up in the morning. You do a lot of things when you get up in the morning. You know, whatever, okay, everyone should have enough discipline if they get up in the morning, giving themselves enough time to take their shower and to daven and to do whatever they need to do and to brush their teeth before they have to go to work. So you do a bedikah in the morning and you're relaxed in the morning. In the evening, so sometimes it's very hard and it's just yatsa schar b'hefseido. So therefore, Willig is famously makel about this. Lemaisa, what does that mean? What that means is that every woman should lechachila do two bedikas a day, once in the morning and once before shkia. But if it's going to be stressful, then she can skip the second bedikah. Because the maisa, the second bedikah, is only lechachila according to some rishonim. Right? So it's like a suffik chi of lechachila. So the machaber is machaber to do two a day. But he's machaber, it's a suffik chi of lechachila. So a suffik chi of lechachila if you can do it. But if it's going to be stressful, then you should not stress about it. So if a woman's at work and shkia is at 4:30 and, you know, and she's very busy and very stressed, then she should not do a second bedikah. And it's not worth making trouble and causing problems. But if you have, you know, your leisure and your time at your disposal, then you should do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and do two bedikas a day. Okay, so lemaisa, what do we say? Two bedikas a day. Mesorah from Rabbi Willig is you can go down to one bedika a day. Okay, sometimes he says this kula in a very very exaggerated fashion. But lemaisa, in a case of any stress or tzorech, you can do once a day lechachila. That is the kula of Rabbi Willig. In a case of a shas hadchak, you can do only one on each of days one, three, and seven, for reasons that I will explain. Okay, and again, we said, what's a shasat chak, where you can go down to less than seven bedikas? Go down, that is, if you're afraid of getting a maka, or if it's painful, or if you just want to avoid finding blood, only using a lot of judgment, if it's, you know, a real emergency situation. That's against the spirit of the halacha.
What about psychological stress? It's not like the... it would be certainly like a middle balance between like being concerned about your fine blood, but at the same time, it is causing stress that could result in what Rui is being concerned about.
Okay, so you have to look at it. If someone's psychologically stressed out by too many Vedicos, then you could be an ankle for them. But, you know, whatever, you have to look at the situation. Okay, if we have time afterwards, I'll tell you a great Gadol story. But it's not about the halacha. It's just about what a Gadol is. So, back to the Shulchan Aruch. Now, that is Lechachila. What about Bidyavid? So, Bidyavid, there was a big Machlokas Tanayim. There's a three-way Machlokas Tanayim. Forget the Machlokas Tanayim. Lemaisa, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that 1 in 7 is good enough. It's a 3-1 close to 9, but that's already, that's been poskened almost 2,000 years ago, and we're not revisiting that. So what do we say? What about Bidyeved? Bidyeved, 1 plus 7 is kosher Bidyeved. If she did day 1 and day 7, that's okay Bidyeved. Why is that okay Bidyeved? Because you see the logic of, well, she started out with the Bidika and ended with the Bidika, so the stomach in between is also clean. So she had 7 days kiyum of checking for cleanliness. She checked at the beginning, checked at the end. That also counts to cover the middle. So she had a 7-day kiyum of checking for cleanliness. That is before in the day of Rabbi Eliezer, the day we pass like in the Mishnah. That's a no-brainer. What about less than that? So, in the Gemara, there's a machlokes amorayim. Okay, after they get through and they paskin, like this Rabbi Eliezer, this day in the Tanaim, the Gemara is machlokes amorayim between, I think, Rav and Rabbi Hanina. Here it is, at Samachtes, that Mishnah Samachtes Beis, the Gemara is Samachtes and Aleph. What about if she only checked on the first day and not on the seventh day? So, or the Gemara says, what if she only checked the seventh day, not the first day? So, Amar Rav hihi tchilasan alfishen sofan and sofan alfishen tchilasan. Rav Chanin Amar tchilasan v'sofan ba'inan. Okay, so what about 1 or 7? So 1 or 7, Rav says kosher, and Rav Chanina says pasul. Rav Chanina says, no, you need a keel of sphere from the beginning to the end. And you need a hefsekara on day, let's call it 0. No, that doesn't count. You need a keel of sphere from the beginning to the end within the Shivan Akiyam. Within the Shivan Akiyam, you need to be machzik at the Tara from the beginning to the end. 1 and 7, bidyevet. Less than that doesn't work. However, says Rav, no. 1 or 7 is good enough. 1 or 7 is good enough. What's his logic? His logic seems to be that if you have 1 that's machzik the whole Shivan Akiyam, because 1 is machzik from then on, and if you have 7, then since you have hefsekara and 7, that's also machzik the whole Shivan Akiyam. What about? So that's Rav. What about if you only have day 3, or you only have day 5? Is that good enough? So this is a big machlokes rishonim within Rav, because almost Rishonim Paskin like Rav. Right, let's see how we Paskin between Rav and Rav Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina, sorry. Who Paskins like Rav? The Rambam and the Ravid. And the Ravid and the Rav Zerachia Levi, the Balamor. And the Rashba and the Rush. That's assumed to be most Rishonim. Who Paskins like Rav Chanina? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer HaTruma, the Smag and the Smak, the Hagos Maimonios. The group of Rishoni Ashkenaz or Orphan Machma on these things. However, the Beis Yosef doesn't quote, but both the Gra here in the Shulchan Aruch and the Be'er Hagola on the side, I believe, as well, even a long time before the Gra, it quotes that Tosos also holds this. The Gra says Tosos also holds this on the Daf. Okay, so we have a nice group of Rishonim. Yes. What? Grandfather. Okay. Now, within Rav, though, what about a middle day? Right? Is it Davka, 1 or 7? Or do we say any day? Even 3, 4, or 5? So logically, what would you think?
Only 1 or 7. I don't think.
I would think logically any day. What's the point? If you just do 1, that's machzik everything after it. If you just do 7, it's machzik everything before it. So if you just do 5, it's machzik what's before and what's after. 1 proves that if you do a b'dika, that counts for the days that come afterwards. 7 proves if you do a b'dika, that counts for the days that came beforehand. So you think once a b'dika helps the days that came beforehand and the days that came afterwards be a kiyum of nikius, then any day, even day 3, it'll count for the days before just like 7 does. It'll count for the days after just like 1 does. And that's why all the Rishonim will analyze it logically, say, logically, any day should do the trick. And that is the psak of the Tur and the Ravid and the Tur and the Ravid and the Rosh. And the Rashba also thinks, Misvara, that that is correct, even though he's a little afraid. But any day. This is the opinion of, who did I just say? The Ravid and the Rosh and the Tur and the Rashba. Put in parentheses. The Rashba is a little afraid, Lamaisa, but the right Rashba also held that way. Who held differently? Basically, it was the Balamor. And maybe the Rambam. Why maybe the Rambam? Because all these Rishonim discussed the issue. The Rambam didn't discuss the issue. He just go to the Gemara. Day 1, good enough. Day 7, good enough. He never discussed explicitly, what about day 3? What about day 5? So we don't know in the Rambam, but he might hold like the Balamor. He might be a mucker of the Balamor. Okay. So, let's see how we paskin. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, B'chol yom yishivas yom yasfirot tzrikha liyos bodek shlachachil pamayim chol yom achas shachal yachas shalom kubin hashmashos v'yim lo bodka b'chol hashiva elo pam achas lo shna bodka b'yom rishon al shiva o b'yom hashvi o b'echa me'im tzoyim me'achar shabodka b'yom shakonu hashiva u'matza tahora alula. Says the Mechaber, first opinion. Doesn't matter if it's the first day, the seventh day, or a middle day. Meaning, he crosses out this Balamor. He's not impressed by this Balamor. Says the Mechab. Says the Mechaber, in his first opinion, any day is good enough. As long as you have 1 B'dika during Shiva Nikiyam, that's a Kiyam of Sfiras Nikiyos. You counted 7 days, and within those 7 days, you did something to show that they were clean. Even 1 day is good enough to be megal in the 7 days, and that's good enough. Alulah, avalim lo barakul l'chol shiva, v'yom ha-shmini barakul matzah Torah, ein la ela yom shmini v'l'varim shalom shalom. But if you didn't do a b'dik the whole 7 days, you only did a b'dik on the 8th day, then the problem is the 8th day, you're already, the hefzek tara is irrelevant by now. 7 days have passed without a b'dika, now you're starting from scratch, now you have to start from the 8th day and count another 6 days from then. Then you're in big trouble. The Yesh Omrim, though, Shetzarch lived up Yom Rishon Meshiv Yom Hashvi. The Ein Lahakel. Some people say you need 1 in 7 Davka, like Rabbi Chanina. And Mechaber, in his second opinion, says, we hold like Rabbi Chanina. The Ein Lahakel. Okay, Ein Lahakel is an interesting Lashon. Right? What does Ein Lahakel mean? It sounds like he's not sure that's the halacha. He thinks that might actually be a minority view if you count up the Rishonim. But lemaisa, we should be machmir. So it means lemaisa, we're machmir. But it implies that, you know, perhaps this is not an absolute psach, but just sort of an olos being equal psach, as we'll see in a moment. Lemaisa, halacha, lemaisa, we are machmir. That you need 1 in 7 b'di'evid. Like this, the Mechaber says. He doesn't just quote Judaeus. He says which day he holds like. Ein l'hakel. Okay, he doesn't say explicitly like this is the absolute halacha, but he says practically, l'maisa, you can't rely on the more makel daya. That's why, by the way, let me just point out 2 possible mechshols. Let's say one is with shasad chak, you can't do all her b'dikos. Then you tell her just do day 1 and day 7. Now here is a terrible mechshol that I've seen that results in
Remember the Gemara? Were we here when why you learned Sanhedrin? Remember how they instituted smicha not because people got the halacha wrong, but because they explained it poorly and people misunderstood them? So here is a terrible problem. I don't know if it's college teachers, I don't know if it's who it is, but there's this makas medina of young married women who heard, b'shas adchak, you can just do day 1 and 7 from their college teacher or someone. Which, okay, is true. It's a matter of interpretation. What's a shas adchak, what isn't? But say, okay, obviously everyone could have a slightly different intuition, but that's not the end of the world. But somehow, what these talas understood is a hefsek tara in day 7. That's what they understood that they meant, which is, that's ridiculous. A hefsek tara in day 7 is only kosher according to Rav. That's just day 7. Right? When we say 1 and 7 is good enough to be yet, we mean hefsek tara 1 and 7. 3, 0, meaning day 0, hefsek tara 1 and 7. And for some reason, tons of women have misunderstood and think that a hefsek tara in 7 is good enough to be yet, which is not true. We hold like Rabbi Chanina. And someone taught them like Rabbi Chanina. They just taught them in a way that wasn't clear. Instead of saying to them, so if you ever have a college teacher, or you ever have a Rebbetzin, you ever anyone who teaches Chassanim, you should tell them, if you're going to teach people that B'shas Adchak, you can do B'dik on 1 and 7, never say the words, B'shas Adchak of B'dik on day 1 and 7 is good enough. Because for some reason, people will misunderstand. Say, B'shas Adchak, a Hefzik Tara, and day 1 of Shiv Nikim and day 7 is good enough. That way, they can't misunderstand. They'll hear a Hefzik Tara plus day 1 plus day 7, and they won't misunderstand. So that's, first of all, one michshol that can come out when people, B'shas Adchak, rely on the B'dieved, they can misunderstand it and not even do the B'dieved properly. And I've seen this happen a lot. I don't know why. Like, I can't imagine how someone could possibly have that misunderstanding. But after like a dozen people who had that misunderstanding, I see, and it's not because college teachers are teaching like Rav. They're teaching Rabbi Chanina. They're just not expressing themselves clearly because, you know, we, people who know halacha, are used to the halachic lingo and think it's obvious what we mean. But a stam person who's not used to halachic lingo will just interpret it in their sense. And so if you say b'dieved, two b'dikas are good enough, they're going to think, oh, they have sektara and one more. So therefore, tell everyone, if you're ever going to say the words day 1 and 7, say have sektara and day 1 and day 7 to avoid a michshol. The second michshol, which is the reason that I wrote this here, this is not a halacha. Why did I say b'shas adchak go down to 1, 3, and 7? That's not the halacha. B'shas adchak, you can go to 1 and 7. Shas adchak, k'dieved dami. Shas adchak, you rely on the b'dieved. Why did I say 1, 3, and 7? For the following reason. If a woman does day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, twice a day, or even once a day, she's going to remember to do b'dik on day 7 because she's been doing it every day, right? If you're doing b'dik 6 days in a row, she's going to remember day 7. What if a woman does day 1 and 7? She's going to do day 1, and ma'asin b'chol yom, she's going to forget day 7. Why? She's not in a pattern of doing a b'dika. She did a b'dika 6 days ago. She doesn't. She remembers, but you know what? People have a lot of things going on in their lives. They don't always remember everything. Some people are absent-minded, and they're not in a pattern. It's exceedingly likely that even if you avoid the mishal, and you tell her hefsek tara 1 and 7, and she knows she has to go hefsek tara and day 1 and 7 in order to be able to be allowed to go to the mikvah, she'll forget day 7. Because she'll forget day 7 because she's not used to doing bdikas, especially in the winter. When, you know, she's not going to think about going to the mikvah till later in the day. So she'll get home from work, be still at work. It'll already be like 5 o'clock. And she'll have forgotten to do bdika. In the summer also she can forget. And then it's a terrible problem. Why? Because then you have this terrible problem of, can you rely on Rav, etc. And it's very not pashut. And it causes shalom bayis problem, right? You can imagine, I mean, you know, we're all sensitive, nice people who have good midos, etc. But not everyone is so sensitive and nice and has such good midos. I can imagine, I'm not a naive person. I can imagine, let's say, what happened? The woman didn't think they wanted, forgot day 7. She calls the rabbi, and the rabbi says, sorry, you have to start your Shiv Nikim again and go to the mikvah a week later. So Mela, if she bled, and the rabbi said, then her husband might be mad at Hashem. But okay, that's his problem. You know, but if she forgot to b'dika, and then the rabbi says, you have to wait another week before going to a mikvah, so her husband would say, you forgot the b'dika, right? Then I'm not a naive person. There are all kinds of characters out there, and it could cause a shalom bayis problem. And you want to be very, number one, you want to be very wary of putting people in a situation of mikshel nowadays, and you want to especially be wary of shalom bayis problems nowadays. We live in a very complicated world. We don't need to make shalom bayis more difficult for anyone. It's already hard enough. And therefore, if you tell her to do 1, 3, and 7, then worse comes to worse if she forgets day 7. We'll see in a moment. What is the note of Yehuda saying? She forgets day 7. She can do day 8, and that's good enough. So she'll go to the mikvah 1 day later. Not the end of the world. Everyone can handle that. No one will die. Beseder, even if you got in 7 and 8, she can do bdik on day 9. That's why I say 1, 3, and 7. If you want to say 1, 4, and 7, 1, 2, and 7, you know, it should all work. I just randomly picked a day. Now, what is this based on? This is based on the issue discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Vav. Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Vav says that we postulate like this, but what about, right? What about some other cases, even within Rabbi Tanina? What about day 1 plus middle day, right? Let's just call it 4, right? It's just an example of middle day. So that is no good. You need day 1 and 7. What about 4 plus 7? What about a middle day? By 4, I just mean a middle day. What about a middle day plus 7? Is that good enough? Why might that be better? Because a middle day plus 7, you had to have Saitara. So if you have Saitara to the middle day to 7, maybe that could be good enough. The Dogomer Vava Taka says that's good enough. The Dogomer Vava says that's good enough. Right here, I have lettered my Dogomer Vava, but you probably don't. He says, the Imkain Afilo Badka Biom Rishon Badka Bi Echli Yom and Soim Vigambi Yom Ashvi Gamas Magmo the Sha'olo Vachal Kalpan and Biom Shapaska Badka Vdeshatifso Bitara. Okay, he's not explicit on the first one, but at the very least, here says the Dogomer Vava that it is good enough. However, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the No de Bihuda that it's not good enough. This is a bit of a funny machlokas because it's the same person who wrote the Rabbi Cheska Landa, the No de Bihuda. The No de Bihuda wrote the Dogomer Vava, as we Bnei Yeshiva talk. Apparently, he must have changed his mind, and lemaisa, we are machmer on this. Lemaisa, we are machmer on this. And we say that, no, 1 in 7 means davka 1 in 7, which really makes sense. If you're going to be a ravnik, 1 or 7, then it makes sense a middle one should also be as good. Because you're saying, like, you don't need the bookends. But if you're saying you need 1 and 7, it's because you need the two ends. So a middle one shouldn't really help. The whole point is you need the two ends. That you can't go before your bedikos or after your bedikos. So pashtus, okay, what about, however, says the note of Yehuda, okay, not all achronim, there are no achronim on the page who disagree. Not all achronim in the world disagree. The machmirim can always find machmirim. But the lashon of the smag is pretty explicit. Like this note of Yehuda. What about, well, here's this shmizi one. 1 plus 2 plus 8. Is that good enough? That's a no-brainer. Yes, because 2 and 8 are really 1 and 7. You just had your Shivan Akiyam a little later. No, the Heftik Tara does not have to be next to the Shivan Akiyam. We discussed that last time. It's perfectly okay to have the Heftik Tara not next to the Shivan Akiyam. Normally, you wouldn't do it, but it's perfectly okay.
And if you have day 1, you also haven't had the
Heftik. Right, correct. Not to mention, you can always count day 1 as the Heftik. Okay, so this is Pashat. That's not a Chiddush of anyone. The Chiddush of Nodi Yehuda is what about 1 plus 3 plus 8? Now, I don't say 1 plus 3 and 9. 1 plus 3 and 9 is just 3 and 9 is 1 and 7. What about 1 plus 3 plus 8? You don't have any 1 and 7 bookends here. Because 1 to 3 does not make a 1 and 7, and 3 and 8 makes a 1 and 6, or a 2 and 7. Does that count? On the one hand, you don't have bookends. On the other hand, you do have bookends through a bridge that cover at least 7 days, so maybe that's good enough. After all, the whole point is that bookends cover the days in between, as long as they're not too far apart, so you have 7 days in between. So, says the Noda Bihuda, yes, this counts. Right? As long as, what's the rule? That's what the Smag says. As long as you have a bridge and you don't have more than 5 days without a bedika. 1 plus 8 doesn't count. So you have 6 days without a bedika.
Right, so what's the principle?
The principle is that a bridge works as long as there are no more than 5 unchecked days in between the dikos. Right? So here, 1, 3, and 8, you don't have 6 unchecked days between the dikos. You have 1 day between 1 and 3 and 4 days between 3 and 8. That is good enough. So even though they don't actually make a 1 and 7, says the Nevi Yehuda, this, by the way, you saw it in Pesachei Tshuvos Sukkot and Vav, if you're curious. That is good enough. And Halacha Lemaisa, we pass like this, no Nevi Yehuda. Right? So that's why I always say, in my humble opinion, it's an Eitz HaTovah, not a Halacha. If you're going to tell a woman B'Shas HaDchak to go down to 1 and 7, you should tell her to go down to 1, 3 and 7 or 1, 4 and 7. And that way, if she forgets 7, she can do day 8 and rely on the Nevi Yehuda. And that's good enough. Or even 1, 2, and 7. She just better at least remember on day 8. Okay. Now, the question is, can we ever be Mekel like Rav? Right? Can we ever be Mekel like Rav? So this is a big inyan. Which Achron gives us a Havmina that maybe we can be Mekel like Rav? Yeah? Yeah, but which Achron tells us that? You know, do we ourselves paskin when to be Mekel and Rishonim against the Shulchan Aruch? No. Which Achron gives us a precedent to be Somech on Rav? The Chassam Sofer, very important Chassam Sofer, in Sukkot Zayin, Fa'ayim Chivas Chassam Sofer, Simekofa Ayim Ches, Shekosav, Dibidi Evet, Shekar Lonsa, Itzal Ba'ala, Yesh Lohakel, Achol Zeb, Vodka, Vada, Ba'alav, O Bezayim. Avav Lo, Vodka, Rav, Echon, Soim, Yesh Lohakosh. Okay, he takes the Balamor here, but says the Chassam Sofer, says that Chassam Sofer can be Mekel Bidi Eved. We can be Mekel like Rav Bidi Eved. Okay, like the more macro version of Rav, 1 or 7. The Seder, that's usually the way it works out. You can be Mekel Bidi Eved like the more macro version of Rav. In what case? Not Bidi Eved. Only Bidi Eved in a very, very, very big Shasat Chak. What's the very big Shasat Chak? He has a concept called Lonsa Itzel Baila. What does that mean? She only did a bedikah on day 1 or day 7. She was Yotzei Rav, she wasn't Yotzei Rav Chanina. And then she went to the mikvah, and then she went home and slept with her husband. Regardless of whether she actually had tashmish or she just slept with him, meaning it doesn't matter if she did the euphemistic kind of sleeping or the literal kind of sleeping. Lonsa Itzel Baila, once she slept in a bed with her husband, after going to the mikvah, if we then say, sorry, you have to recount your Shiva Nikiyam and it's no good, then we're doing is, we're casting aspersion and accusing her of violating Nida. And even if she didn't engage in Tashmish, even though people usually do, it's a mitzvah on mikvah night, but still we're casting aspersions because she certainly could have and would appear to have engaged in Tashmish with her husband. So in that case, that's considered the biggest Shasat Chak. Like after a woman slept with her husband, then to say she has to go back to the mikvah because she really wasn't Tahora. So if me ikra din, ain't welcome to Hakel. But in this case, then the Chassam Sofer, since most Rishonim hold like Rav, therefore, in a case of Lonsa Itzel Baala, not to mention the fact, why was the Beis Yosef Machmir like Rabbi Chanina? It's a Suffolk Isserkaris. Points out, it's not always a Suffolk Isserkaris nowadays. It's probably only a Suffolk Rabbanah, because the Chumash Rabbi Zeira, we're very usually not a real Zafa. So, okay, Beis Yosef says, no, we make a general rule. We don't take every time we have to pass them, we don't say it's only Rabbanim, it's the Chum Dorbi Zebra. We pass in the rules of Zofa and then apply them. But if some Sofer says you can be Mekel Bidi Eved in Lonsa Eitzel Baala, if she already went to the mikvah and slept with her husband, so as not to say they violated the Isser Bias Nida. Therefore, Lemaisa, it would seem that in a tremendous Shas HaChak, there is room to be Mekel like Rav that only day 1 and day 7 is big enough. Is good enough, even if it's not Lonsa Eitzel Baila, maybe there's a different equivalent big Shasat Chak. So, nira that, let's say it's a Makom of Shalom Bayis, then you can also be Mekel, if you see that it's a real, real big Tzorech, you can make it like Rav, and then you don't even get into the whole Sugya. Now, what does that mean? I don't mean like the person says, well, It's very hard for me to not go to the mikveh for another week. Okay, then, you know, you don't want to be insensitive, so then you should have done your bedikos, lady. but, you know, that's life. Sometimes things are hard. But if you say mamish, you know, it's going to be a shalom bayis problem. It could lead to a divorce. It could lead to abuse. It could lead to all kinds of terrible things. It could lead to a tremendous mikshal. You know, let's say the one says, you know what? Fine, I won't go to the mikveh for another week. But I know that we're going to end up in Tashmish being together in that week. Because, like, my husband's not going to wait another week. Like, it doesn't work that way. So then, in cases like that, you can be, you know, that's like better than Lensei Tzavala. You can be Mekel, like Rav, or in case of serious Shalom Bayis. So if it's more than just that, it's hard to be Porish for extra time, but it's really going to have a detrimental long-term effect, then seems to be that's as bad as Lensei Tzavala, and you can be Mekel like Rav. So if you're super duper duper scared of some very bad thing, then you can be Mekel like Rav. But normally, b'di'evid, we are not making even b'di'evid like Rav. We are even if she went to the mikveh and came home and wasn't one seitzel bayis, she went to the mikveh and then says, "Oh, I forgot to do b'dika." Call the rabbi. We tell her what you went to the mikveh didn't count. You're still a nida, still sleep in a separate bed, and go again. And when you do a proper shiur b'dika. You're right, but at the very least, we shouldn't exacerbate it. The other big issue is, given that we already see from this some sofer, that it's not like a vadai 100% psak like Rabbi Hanina. Right? There is a makom for Rav. In a super big shas of chak b'di'evid, we are somech on Rav. So, say some of the poskim that, and this is all somewhat dependent on the circumstances, there's also makom to say, look, if the Chassam Sofer says in a big Shas of Chak with Rulayim Rav, that means that even if it's not a Shas of Chak, it's not a Vadai we hold like Rabbi Hanina, right? It's only a Suffolk we hold like Rabbi Hanina. If we Vadai held like Rabbi Hanina, how can the Chassam Sofer be Mekel? It must be that it's a Suffolk. And it's not even the even Suffolk, because an even Suffolk maybe wouldn't have been Mekel. But it's at worst a Suffolk like Rabbi Hanina. And therefore, say the poskim that Yesh lahakel bidi eved b'makom tzorech, even not a super shasach hakel, if you don't say it's a bayil or something terrible. Stam a makom tzorech where it's difficult, you know, where it's it's hard. Yesh lahakel b'makom tzibdieved makom tzorech b'alpi sveik sveika. Let's say you have a case where, according to Rav, it's good enough, and even according to Rabbi Hanina, it's a suffix. Right, you did day one, and Suffolk maybe you also did day seven. Right? So, like for example, right, what are examples? Examples is you, and you know, this gets very complicated. You know, you need people, some people are more creative, some people are are less creative. For example, what about Yom Aleph plus Bein Hashmashos the Sof Yom Zayim. What if a woman did first day and Bein Hashmashos the end of the seventh day? Then we could say, Sveik Sveika, maybe Rav is right, the first day is good enough. And even if Rabbi Hanina is right, maybe Bein Hashmashos is Yom and she did one in seven. So in that case, Makom Tzorech, you can be Mekel. Okay, what's a Makom Tzorech? So you have to know your circumstances. If a Makom Tzorech would be otherwise, they'd have to wait another week. That's a Tzorech. If a Makom Tzorech is otherwise, they'd have to wait another day. Let's say you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and Bein Hashmashos day 7. So they could wait till day 8. Or they could rely on a fake fake. Okay, so it depends if it's harder or easier for them to wait an extra day. Maybe it depends how big B'nai Torah they are. Or let's say you have a case of Yom Echad plus Leil Zayin. There's a big Machlokas Rashi in Tosos of Psachim Daf Pei Aleph. It doesn't make it onto the page of the Shulchan Aruch. Famous Machlokas Rashi in Tosos of Psachim Daf Pei Aleph, whether you could be Mekayim Sphere of Alayla, whether B'dika counts at night. Do we say no? When the Torah says days, you have to do the Kiyum during the daytime? Or no? When the Torah says days, you can do the Kiyum in the nighttime also. Famous machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says lightly counts, and Tosos and many Rishonim say it doesn't. So over here, you can have a sveik sveika. Over here, you can have a sveik sveika. You could say, maybe we hold like Rav and Yom Aleph is good enough. And even though they're Chanina, maybe 9 times counts and you have 1 and 7. So in that case, you could also be making on a sveik sveika, even in a makom of just a regular tzorech, even if it's not a tremendous shasad chak. And okay, there's other, all kinds of cases that might come up. So, good thing to know that if you have like an obvious sveik sveika, and there's a tzorech you could be making, even if you don't have an obvious sveik sveika, so okay, yesh makom l'hakel to discuss with the poskim as to, you know, whether you can, you know, some poskim are very clever, and, you know, you can maybe think of some suffix to make a sveik sveika, even when a regular person would not have thought of it, depending on how difficult the situation is, and, you know, there's a lot of room for, in the end, there's a lot of room for leeway, even though we pass like Rabbi Chanina, there's a lot of room for leeway for two reasons. Number one, which is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that if it's Lonsa Itzalbala or something on the level of Lonsa Itzalbala, then we can be making like Rav Stam. And number two, the Rav Avya says this, but so do a lot of other Rechonim. This is not the kind of sveik sveika that only Rav Avya says. Says if you have a sveik sveika, you can be making with Rav together with another suffix. And therefore, that becomes a very big sugya. We're not going into every single example now. But some people have more creative about making sveik sveika, some people less so. But some of these classic sveik sveikas, the big question is, the Rav Avadya says that Rav Willi doesn't like. Rav Avadya says, what about the following case? She did a moch dachuk, hefzik tara moch dachuk, and then only day 7. Says Rav Avadya, she can go to the mikvah sveik sveika. Maybe Rav's right in day 7 is good enough. And even if we hold like Rabbi Chanina, she took out the moch dachuk at night. And that's the night of day 1. And therefore, according to Rashi, that's good enough. Says Rav Willi, that's not true. Because when you take out the moch dachuk, you don't check the chor in the stocking. You don't do a full bedika. It's just one little cloth in there. It's not really filling all the chor and stuck in. And therefore, he would not rely on that. Okay, well, that's enough for now.
Would anyone use the Dagom Ravava?
As a sveik... No, because it's sort of built in that we don't rely on that. Now again, you have to judge your shasas chaks, etc. Obviously, it would be a factor, but not stam. Okay. What else do we want to talk about? Okay, one or two other things. Number one, this is sort of obvious, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Yes?
Just about the last thing. If she puts in the mochtach before Shkia, and as she puts in, she does.
Chor Nesakin, that's still not going to count because lightly, because when she took that during the night, she didn't do Chor Nesakin.
As a stomach so far, let's say she has no passive tires to it, and she's waiting.
Yeah, and a Chanami. The Rabbi Kiva Eger points out here, he says a very posh thing which everyone would do in common sense, that in addition to checking herself, doing an internal bedika for the 7 days, she also has to check her underwear during the 7 days. Okay, that's, I think we would have thought that. Anyway, the fascinating discussion of Pesach Chuvah Sukkot and Gimel and Dalid is, do you need anything besides bedikas for the Kiyam Shiva Nikiyam? Does the Kiyam Shiva Nikiyam require something besides bedikas? So bedikas, these are necessary. How about Sphira? After all, Sphira's Nikiyam. Sphira, anyone know? And Sphira's Omer. Is it enough to just check that you are still on our way to receiving the Torah? No, you have to account. Hayom, yom, right? So, says the Shla Adas Yachar, the Shla Nsukkot and Dalit, a woman has to count. Hayom, yom, rishon, shiv nikiyam. Hayom, yom, sheni. Hayom, yom, shlishi. Without that, it's not called counting shiv nikiyam. Right? What's the obvious principle here? It's not enough to just have clean days. You need to have a kiyum of counting the clean days. A kiyum of clean days. That's why you need bedikas. To have a kiyum of clean days. And he says you need to count it. So what about sfira bipeh? So the shla says necessary. We don't pass like the shla, even lechachila, not necessary against the shla. Even lechachila, I have no idea. I'm sure there's always someone who's machmir for every shita, but Lamai said no one's machri even l'chachil, the woman should count verbally 7 days. We assume no. In Sfira Sa'omer, the way you're sofer is by counting. In Shiva Nikiyam, the way you're sofer is by doing bedikos, not by counting the path. But in Sifkat and Gimel, you have the discussion of the Mi'il Tzedaka, which is much more basic. Forget about the path. How about bedas? Does she need to have in mind that she's in Shiva Nikiyam? Right? Does she need kavan of Shiva Nikiyam? What if she thinks she's not in Shemini Kiyum? Why would she think she's not in Shemini Kiyum? Someone told her, like, in his case, someone told her a false halacha that it was still the 5 days, she couldn't start counting Shemini Kiyum yet, and they were wrong. So she thought she couldn't count Shemini Kiyum, but she really could. Or, what can happen sometimes nowadays is, the woman finds a bedikah, she says, oh, this is a bad bedikah, I ruined my Shemini Kiyum. Right? That's, I ruined my Shemini Kiyum. And then it turns out that really it was okay, it was Tliya Pamaka, or it was a good color, or whatever. So she thought she wasn't a Shemini Kiyum, but she really was. So is that a problem if she doesn't have Kavanah Shemini Kiyum? So, how about Das? Das lit Sfiras Nikiyum. So says the Me'il Tzedakah in Sifkat Gimel, Das is Ma'akev. If she thinks she's not a Shemini Kiyum, then it doesn't count. Says the Me'il Tzedakah, it is necessary. Now, Lechachila, we are for sure Macher for the Me'il Tzedakah. Lechachila, we're for sure Macher for the Me'il Tzedakah. Meaning, what does that mean? That means that if you tell every woman, the Kala teachers teach all the women, you tell all the husbands, if the woman ever thinks she ruined her Shemini Kiyum, she should reserve judgment. She should say, I'm not sure I might still be in Shemini Kiyum. Anytime the woman, anything happens, until she checks with her husband and with her rabbi, she should still think that she might be in Shemini Kiyum. She should never make up her mind that she's out of Shemini Kiyum. That way, you don't get into this problem of Me'il Tzedakah. It's going to Me'il Tzedakah. Once she thinks she's not in Shemini Kiyum, she's in trouble. Halacha l'maisa, what about b'di'evit? What about b'di'evit? There are three opinions b'di'evit. And, okay, I'm not going to quote all the modern-day poskim. I'm just going to point out what Rabbi Willig poskins, which happens to be the same thing I saw quoted from Rabbi Yashin. I think it was coincidence. It was quoted for a very obscure source. There are three opinions to b'di'evit. One opinion is, and this is based on, the Me'il Tzedakah brings two possible problems of not having das. One problem, says Me'il Tzedakah, is that if you don't have das, she might have bled and not noticed, therefore we have to assume she bled. In which case, if she didn't have das, let's say on the fourth day she didn't have das. If the problem is a chashash of dam, then what does she have to do now? Okay. Restart her count. So one opinion is, what if she didn't have das? Right? What if she thought she was not in Shemini Kiyum? What if she didn't have das? So most of the modern day Sfarim I've seen, quote, it's a machlokas, they're not even machriya. One opinion is that there's a chashash ri'iya, and therefore she has to start again. That's called a, what do we call it in Shulchan Aruch Lashon, if she has to start again? She was Soser, her Shemini Kiyum. The second opinion is, the Me'il Tzedakah discussed both these ideas. No, it's not a chashash ri'iya. If she didn't see anything, we don't think she saw. What's the problem not having das? It's a lack of kiyum of Shemini Kiyum. It's a lack of kiyum sfira. She missed out on her kiyum sfira. So it's a bitul of the kiyum of sfira. If it's the bitul of the kiyum of sfira, then what happened on the fourth day she was mevatel kiyum of sfira? Does she have to start again? If you're a little ahead of us in the Shulchan Aruch, what happens on the fourth day if? What happens if with one day, for some reason, she can't count that day to her Shemini Kiyum, but she didn't bleed? Does she have to start again? Right, what's the example? She was a Boleta Shechla Zera. She can't count it as a Kiyum of Sfira. Does she have to start again? No. If you bleed, you have to start again. If you just don't have a Kiyum of Sfira, you don't have to start again. So, she just can't count that day. And the third opinion is that that we reject the Me'il Tzedakah, and she's perfectly okay with the Eved, it is no problem. Halach Lemaisa, to this very day you'll find Postman saying each of these three things. Lemaisa, Rabbi Willig says, and I saw the Sefer Pua quoted the early Yashin Postman the same thing, he quoted in some more obscure Sefer that quoted, I forgot what it was, that we Paskin, people are passing different things nowadays. We pass like the middle opinion. We don't have a strong shasha for Iyas Dam. Just because she thought she wasn't in Shemini Kiyum, we don't assume she bled and didn't notice. But we do say it's a begam in the kiyum of Svira. We don't like the shlosh. She doesn't have to be sofer repet, but she has to be sofer bedas. She has to think she's in shiva nekiyum. Therefore, if she didn't think she was in shiva nekiyum, she lost that day. What counts as not thinking she's in shiva nekiyum? Only if she didn't think she was in shiva nekiyum for the entire day. Like, for example, let's say 9 o'clock Monday night. She says, I lost my shiva nekiyum. I'm not in shiva nekiyum. And then all the rest of Monday night and Monday morning and Monday afternoon and Tuesday night and Tuesday morning, she realized she was still in shiva nekiyum. Then she's okay because she had das for part of Monday and das for part of Tuesday. So she can count Monday and count Tuesday. Only if she didn't have das for the entire day from tzeis to tzeis, then she can't count that day. So that's how we paskin. And again, that's how Rabbi Willard paskins. And I saw that Rabbi Yoshua also paskin the exact same for a bit, kind of down to the details. It's only a problem if she went an entire halachic day without das. So, even if she went 24 hours without das, that's not necessarily a problem. Only if she went from tzeis to tzeis without das, then she can't count that day. So if she didn't have das from twilight Monday to twilight Tuesday, then she can't count Tuesday shiva nekiyum. But if she had das during part of the day, that's good enough, even though das at night would only work according to Rashi, not according to Tosos. But since Mil Tzedakah is a Chiddush, we can rely on Rashi here. Okay, that's halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, A, Rachili should teach all women to always think they might still be in shiva nekiyum. And never to give up on their das. When it comes to shiva nekiyum, they should all be breastlovers. Ein yeush ba'olam klal. But if they really thought they weren't in shiva nekiyum, then as long as during 1 minute of each halachic day they thought they were in shiva nekiyum, they can count it. But if they went an entire halachic day without thinking they were in shiva nekiyum, then they don't lose their count, but they can't count that day. Okay, that's the psak halacha
l'maisa.
Regarding whether it's complicated, it's regarding a complicated case that's not halachic.
No, I mean, like, here, have you mentioned in context of das, but
they were really arguing. They were really arguing in the context of you hold mitzvah sayom kikulo. Can you count part of the night and then go to mikvah or not? But it was complicated. Okay, look in Sachem Daf Pei Aleph. Okay, it wasn't about any lemaisa case. That's the problem. They weren't arguing about any case that's relevant to our modern day halacha. Okay, one last thing, which we really don't have time for, but I'll just mention. It's a very chumra issue in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Hei. What about a woman who has a maka and she's tola b'maka? I'm only going to discuss the first part. The second part is not so l'maisa. What about a woman who has a maka and can be tola b'maka? What's the problem? She can be tola b'maka, tola b'maka, tola b'maka. She gets her period. Now she's tveya. She needs a hefsek tara and a bedika, right? At least for Rav, a bedika, one bedika, right? But she can't get a hefsek tara because when she does hefsek tara, she is damaka. But what's the point of hefsek tara? You put it in white, it comes out white. You see there's no damnida. If you have a maka, you put it in red, it comes out red. You're told all the red on a maka, but you don't know if there's also damnida on it or not. Right? When you have a maka, how can you ever know there's not any damnida? You don't know there is damnida. So if you're becheskes tara, you say, I'm told of a maka, there's no damnida. But if you're becheskes toma, how do you know the damnida stopped? It's like putting in a red blood-soaked cloth and taking it out. So, and if not, all that blood came somewhere else. But how do you know if there was also nida blood or not? So that's a fundamental problem, says the Chavos Das, and the Chasam Sofer agrees, at least as far as hefsek tara goes, and many other achronim. Such as Moshe Paskins, she's just stuck. There's no way for her to do a hefsek tara. So what about if she has a bleeding maka? No way to do a hefsek tara. So here is a very chumra issue. What about Isha? She yesh la maka. How does she do a hefsek tara? Says the Chavos Das and the Chasam Sofer and others. She can't ever go to the mikvah. She's stuck. Because how can she know she doesn't have damnida? After all, there's always blood on the cloth. So how does she know there's no damnida? If she was Tahora, she wouldn't know there is Dam Nida. Great. But she has to know there's not Dam Nida. Right? Basically, if you do a Bedika in your Tolu B'maka, it's as if you didn't do a Bedika, right? It was meaningless. Okay, but if you didn't do a Bedika, you don't have Sektara. This is very chomer, even in case we're a Tolu B'maka. That means we're Tolu B'maka, and this Bedika is not Matame you. It's neutral. But if it's neutral, it's not a Hepsektara. You can't say it proves there's no Dam Nida, because there could be Dam Nida. How would you know? It just fits in with the Dam Maka. So they say you can't do it, you're just stuck. This is a very chomer issue. There are different days in the Achronah between Nakel. I'm just going to sketch them out, and we're not going to totally paskin. There are three svaras in the Achronah between Nakel. One is, and I'm not. There are a lot of fascinating svaras here, but I'm not going to go through them, and the Chavs Das is some things that we definitely don't paskin like. I'll just give you three svaras of the Mekila. The note of Yehuda is Mekel, although if you look inside, he's nervous about being so Mechlamaisa. But he says, you know how she can do a Hefsek Tara? He says a very simple thing. This is the machlok between him and the Chassam Sofer and others. Says the Nod Yehuda. Well, really, Dam is only Doraisa if there's a Hargasha. So Midoraisa, you only need a Hefsek Tara to show there's no Dam Bahargasha. So he says, well, you don't really need to have Sektara. All you need to do is close your eyes, meditate, disassociate from the world, focus on your body, and make sure you don't have a Hargasha. And then that's a Sektara. Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says, no. You only notice the Hargasha when you start bleeding. You don't notice the Hargasha every second. Like, you know, only if you stop bleeding, then you would notice if you started again. Nodimuda says, no. And you just have to think for a minute you don't have Hargasha. He says, why are Chazal Matak and Hefsektara? Which is a great way to make the woman focus on that part of her body and make sure she doesn't have a Hargasha. But the Iker is the mental Hargasha, not the physical blood. Therefore, says the Nodimuda Yehuda, just she can concentrate and make sure there's no Hargasha. Okay. That is a big chish.
That's the Hefsektara.
And that's the Hefsektara. That's a tremendous chish. So Mice and the Yehuda wasn't so much on that alone. It was a big chish. But that's what he says. He says, look, as long as you don't have Hargasha, that's good enough to be Doraisa. How do you get out of that? The Chavos Das says something you don't pass like at all. He says, no, even Dam without a Hargasha is so your Shuvah Nekiyah. According to that, every time a woman nowadays had a Kesem, we don't like that. But Chassam Sofer says, no. You only feel a Hargasha when you stop bleeding and start again. But if you keep bleeding, you don't feel anything. Therefore, she doesn't feel anything, maybe it's because she's still bleeding. Okay, Lemaisa, there's a sefer called Zichron Yosef, who says a tremendous chiddush. He says, you know when you need a Hefsek Tara? You need a Hefsek Tara if you're like ending your period, like many women. You ask, what day do you get your Hefsektara, the way you ask the woman? She says, well, sometimes day 5, sometimes day 6, sometimes day 7. Okay, she wants to get a Hefsektara on day 5. How does she know she stopped bleeding? She needs a Hefsektara. Let's say it's day 12. How does she know she stopped her period bleeding? Because she knows her period doesn't last 12 days. Give me a break. What if she just knows that it's much longer than her period ever lasts? So she has an umdana that she stopped bleeding her period blood. I know there's still lack of blood. She has an umdana that she stopped bleeding. Is that good enough? Says the Sefer Zichron Yosef, which I'm not sure who it is. It's quoted by Rabbi Eger, and from there it's quoted by all the modern-day Sfarim. He says, if enough days passed that she is sure her period ended, that's good enough. That's a tremendous kula. You should know, you know the famous Rav Moshe about this? There's a famous Rav Moshe, but who uses the Zichron Yosef, but not for halachic purposes. He would never be someone on the Zichron Yosef halachically. Someone asked the following question. There's this girl who, they read me as a shidduch. She has all Yerushalayim and all the Maila, really everything great. But she's a Baal Shuvah, her parents aren't from. Okay, so what? Right? Right? Is only if they keep sinning. He says, if she's a Baal Shuvah, then her mother didn't go to mikvah. She's a Bas Nida. The Gemara says a Bas Nida is pogum and is bad. So should I agree to the shidduch? It's not usher. But he says, I have a choice. Should I agree to the shidduch? After all, she's a Bas Nida. And maybe I don't want to marry someone who has a spiritual flaw in them. Okay, if you had asked Rav Menashe Klein, you would have gotten a different answer. But they asked Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe said, Chas v'shalom. He said, first of all, he said, what are you, crazy? You're telling someone they're going to go from, they won't be able to get a good shidduch. Like, you know, that's not what we believe in. But he said very well. He said, what are you talking about? He said, the Gemara says what's wrong with a bas nida. A bas nida or a ben nida will have bad midos. But you said you checked out the girl. Meaning, if they'd read your shidduch, it's bal tshuva, we don't know anything about her. Would you like a mail order bride? Bas tshuva, bas nida. Then you should say, no, maybe she has a lot of bad things in her. But you met the girl. You know she has all the good midos. So, mitzias is mitzias. Facts are facts. It's a fact she has good midos. So don't give me, she has bad midos. It's a fact she has good midos. Of course you should marry her. Can't go against the Gemara. The Gemara understood the spiritual essence of everybody. The Gemara understood that based on the Lomos El Yonim, if someone is a bas nida, then they'll have bad midos. So how can it be she has good midos? So Moshe says, it must be, he basically says, me manashah. If you're going to just look at the facts on the ground, we all know she's a good girl. If you're going to say, but I have this whole pnimius svara lomos elyonim, he says, well, two could play that game. He says, it must be she's not a bas nida. How? The Gemara says bas nida has bad midos. She has good midos. It's a proof that she's not a bas nida. How could she not be a bas nida? First of all, he says, you only get bad midos from a bas nida d'oraisa, not a bas nida d'rabbanan. You don't need chumah d'rabzeira, any of these things. Just need the d'oraisa. And you don't need all the drabbanans of tefillah, the chatzitza. You only need tefillah d'oraisa. Hey, you never heard of the beach? People go to the beach all the time, and they swim in the ocean, and they do this, and even swimming pools, according to many Mishonim, are good enough. Right? He said, you never heard of the beach? Her mother must have gone to the beach. Her mother must have gone swimming, must have done all, you know, all kinds of things, and she must have gone to the mikvah. You need kavana? Nah, me'ikradin, you don't need kavana. It's only a chumra that you need kavana for tefillah. Me'ikradin, tefillah without kavana is perfectly fine. So she wasn't a basnida. You need a hefsek tara? So Moshe says, zichrin, he doesn't quote, but he's zichrin Yosef. He says, nah, she must have gone to the beach. Remember, midoraisa, 7 days later, not shivanikiyam. She must have gone to the beach 10 days after a period, or 12, or 20 days after a period. When it's an umdina, we all know her period ended by then. So even if she never did a hefsek tara, she knows her period ended. The hefsek tara is only like for day 5 and day 6 when you're not sure. But if it's 10 days later, an umdina demuchach is better than a bedika. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, he relies on this zichron Yosef. The Klazanish takes the zichron Yosef more seriously halachically. Rav Moshe says, halachically, I don't rely on the zichron Yosef at all, and I don't rely on svaras that I'm sure people went to the swimming pool or the beach, etc. Halach lemaisa, you can't paskin based on these svaras. But on the level of that we're discussing here, so Rav Moshe says he uses this idea of the zichron Yosef to rescue all the balos tshuva and to say that it must be that obviously she's a good match and you should marry her. And if you'll say, but it's against the Gemara, no, it must be muchach. The facts on the ground prove she's not a bas nida. And in order to do that, you have to be makel on Hilchas Tevila, which means a rice you can do, and you have to be makel on Hefzik Tara, which you can do according to the Zichron Yosef.
Where is that Shiva?
I'll send it to you. It's a famous one, but I didn't write down where it was. Okay, Lemaisa, there's one last Svara, which is the Sefer Nefesh Chaya. Says in Nefesh Chaya, he has an interesting kula, which only works for a maka in the Beis Achitzo. For a mak in the vaginal canal, not a mak in the uterus. Says the Nefesh Chai, and this could come up, the Maisa, if she does many bedikos, and on each bedika she finds one fresh drop of blood all the way in the corner someplace, but the whole thing is clearly okay, then she can count that as a hefsek tara. Because it really, we all know that proves that no new blood is coming out of the uterus. So, says the Nefesh Chai, it says if she does many bedikos, and finds a drop of fresh blood on the corner, then, not only told that blood b'maka, but it doesn't interfere with the bedika, because the main area was clearly checked very well, and each time it's one drop, and if there's damnida, you would have noticed it was two drops. You would have noticed something a little different. And I'll be common sense. I think every doctor would tell you, that's a pretty good proof. That, you know, it's not like there'd be damnida and hiding. How would it get every time to exactly that one spot? That it wouldn't be different color, it wouldn't be bigger. Like, you know, so, of course, that's only limited to cases where the maka is one drop. So the mach is one drop. This nefesh chai is meiko. Halacha l'maisa, are we so mech on any of these? So it's hard to be so mech on any of these svaras. You've seen, you see some of the, even the names behind these svaras are not all the most famous names. Not chas v'shalom, that I'm judging anyone. But l'maisa, it's hard to be so mech on these svaras. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, quoted by my cousin Menachem Borshti, before Sefer Pu, in Darchei Tara of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is meiko, and they quote him also from Pua, that you can be so mech on the nefesh chaya, you do it different times of the day, and you see a clear pattern. You can be so mech on the nefesh chaya b'shas adchak. So there are those who are so mech on the nefesh chaya, and you have no choice b'shas adchak. If you really do it over a prolonged period and find it's 100% clear, like unequivocal. However, even that a lot of achronim don't like. So the best thing to do in this case is all the modern day poskim right. The best thing to do in this case is. The real solution, okay, can you sometimes, if you need to, can you be somech on the nefesh chaya? Okay, if you need to, you can be somech on the nefesh chaya if you're really stuck. But even that nefesh chaya is not always going to help, meaning it's only in limited circumstances. Can you be somech on the Nebi Yehud and Zichron Yosef? Very hard. Not my pay grade to be make on kulas like that. And Rav Moshe did not believe in any kulas like that in the halachic realm. The big solution is a... The big solution to this case is a visual inspection. Who says that a hefsek tara has to be with a cloth, with your finger? Why can't a hefsek tara just be looking through a medical instrument? So the answer is because in the days of the Rishonim and the early Achronim, they didn't have such instruments. But it's a svara, it's a common sense. If using a cloth is good enough, actually looking, you know, which you can't normally see it. You need the proper equipment. It's not modern technology, but still, they didn't have it hundreds of years ago. Speculum, is that what it's called? A speculum. So if you look with a speculum, and you look, that's even better than a cloth. It's actually seeing. Therefore, what can you do? They have something called a bodeket nowadays. Best of my knowledge, this has penetrated to all circles of Orthodox Judaism. A bodeket is a frum lady who's a gynecologist or a nurse who knows how to use a speculum, which again is not rocket science, who is given some basic instructions by Rabbanim, which also is not rocket science. The Iker is just maybe from and have nemonis. Because if you're going to ask them a shayla, halachic shayla, then they have to be from. You can't just go to a secular doctor and say, I want your pasuk something for me that's just halachic. The secular doctor gives you a medical opinion, you could say, Umar Lamar and nothing. He's not going to lie about medicine and what would happen to his reputation, to his license, etc. If you ask him purely halachic shayla, you can't be so much on a secular doctor or a goyim. But it's a frum lady who has the equipment, and you go to her, and they have them all over in Hasidic communities, and in Litvish communities, and in modern communities, everywhere. And she'll examine you, and she'll examine you, and she'll say, she'll examine you, and she'll say, look, I'm looking, I see there's a maka. A, first of all, you know, maybe she'll look and she won't see any blood, because if she's not touching with the cloth, maybe it won't bleed. Or she'll say, I'm looking, I see the blood coming out of the maka, but I see no blood's coming out of the mukor. So that's good, that's a hefsektara. You can do a visual hefsektara. So really, if you're stuck in this case, the proper etza is to do a visual hefsektara. You go to the bodeka and do a visual hefsektara, and that counts. And then you go back to the bodeket, during Shivan Akiyam, and do a visual bedita on Yom Aleph, and then hopefully by Yom Zayin, you can maybe get a regular bedita, or else if you can, go back to the bedeka on Yom Zayin, or if you're really stuck, Mokom Maka, or Meka like Rav, that we saw also in some Kuf Pei Zayin. But Mokom Maka, or Meka like Rav, if you can't go back to the bodeka, then you can be Meka like Rav, because otherwise you'd never be able to go to the mikvah. Okay, so Lamaisa, the real answer is go to the deck and do visual inspection. Yes?
Why would they, after the hefsek, why does she need the bodeks anymore?
The Chassam Sofer says she doesn't. Now she can just make sure she doesn't feel it opening again. But Lamaisa, we're not so mech on that. We assume that no, you need actual checking. It's not enough to just not feel something. You need to actively check. Because that's the kiyum of Shivan Akiyam. Chavos Das says you need Sfurim of Bedukin, you need Kiyam of Bedika. The Kiyam of Bedika is you have to check. It can't just be passive, it has to be an active check.
But check with the aid, why would you check with the aid? This is the Dav Maka, and then Because she already has a hefsek tallit.
She needs to check to make sure no blood is coming out. If there's blood on the cloth, how does she know no blood is coming out? You could say as far otherwise, but Lamaisa, she has to go back for a shivanikim.
Would that be
to
see if there's the choros are stuck in?
I think so. First of all, a vodex is better because she could just see the opening of the uterus.
Right. No, meaning she might not see the opening of the uterus right now, but like, but let's say there's residue blood that's inside. That's what I was asking about the horse stuff. Like,
right. So
I'm assuming she can't. I'm just like, I was asking.
Right. So I'm not. It's a good question. I'm not a total bucky in exactly what she can do. Yosef, do you know can the vodex see the choron who's stuck in?
Yeah.
Okay. Weiter.
How far you like?
If she wants to, she probably learns how. Okay, Chesky, get the board for me. Okay, now, says Rava. Now we have to speed a little. Vavadika Tiel or Hayom Belola or Haner. Okay, that's the Vadikas you need to be Kiyam again. These are very ikrit things. You have to chazu them. These are very, very common shayas. Says Rava, Vavadika Tiel or Hayom Belola or Haner, B'yev Mahani Filo or Haner. What Vadikas means the woman. The woman should look at her cloth, right? The woman first looks at her cloth. If she's not sure, she asks a rabbi. But 95% of the time, the woman looks at her cloth and says it's okay or it's not okay. Only if it's borderline, she goes to the rabbi. So, the woman should look at her cloth to daylight and not candlelight. It's pretty easy because she has to do the bedikas during the day. So, she should just look at them in the sun right away and not in, and not at candlelight. Lemaisa, a lot of posts can say, where really Paskin's electric light is okay. Electric lights are better than candlelights. They're not exactly as accurate as the sun, but for her level, just to see if it's shaila or not, it's good enough. Okay. Hey, bodka atzvigon shepasku min liros u matza tmeo bodka lachar shlosha arbav yom batza tora. She does a attempted hefsek tara and fails. And then 3 or 4 days later, she does a bedika and finds she's tora, raise him cheskas tmea, she tivduk tara. She is, we assume she was tmea until then. She's all the way in so far, she tivduk and pasku is mono lachar asa. Okay, this is obvious. She does a failed bedika. 4 days later, she does a good bedika. That's her hefsek tara. She can only start the next day shivna kiyum. Retroactively, we assume she was tmeah. Vav kol bedikos elu. How do you have to do the bedika? Kol bedikos elu be bedikos hefsek tara bedikos kol shiva tshuchalios be beged pishdan lavon yoshan. Has to be an old white linen cloth. Obed tzemer geffen or cotton. Obed tzemer lavon nakiv harach or very soft clean white wool, because wool has to be extra soft because it's not naturally as soft. Okay, there's some debate in the Beis Yosef. It's pretty posh. It just has to be with anything that's white and soft. White, because that way you'll see if there's blood or not. And soft, so that you can put it in the choron stuck and do a proper bedika. Lemaisa, nowadays, women use bedika cloths, right? We live in the old days, everyone used everything for everything. Now, specialization, they manufacture something special for each thing. Some women use bedika cloths. You buy in Israel and Brooklyn. You buy it in the pharmacy. In Albuquerque, you have to buy it in the mikveh. But wherever you live, at least in the mikveh, you can buy bedika cloths. And what are bedika cloths? They're just special cloths that are white and soft. You know, they all come with like 100 different high-level hashgachos. Not that you need them. They just have to be white and soft. But since you don't need them, it's easy to get the hashgachos. So you might as well. It looks impressive. You can always get the highest level ashgacha for silver foil. What if she doesn't have a bedika cloth? So a lot of women call an emergency shayla. I'm traveling, I have to do a hefsek, and I don't have a bedika cloth. It doesn't have to be a bedika cloth. It just has to be something that's white and soft. So what's white and soft? So if a woman doesn't have a bedika cloth, the best thing is usually her husband's undershirt that he's owned for many, many years. Because undershirts are very, very, they're very thin and soft also. And they're not initially soft enough, but after they get washed 100 times, they get pretty soft. Okay, but it could be basically any old white clothing that's very soft. Or new white clothing if it happens to be super duper soft. So a woman shouldn't feel intimidated if she doesn't have bedika cloths. Why do we sell bedika cloths? Just because it's convenient nowadays that, you don't want to have to start worrying about old clothing and you don't want to get the stains on the clothing. So it's much more convenient nowadays. But really, it could be any white cloth, and they didn't use their bedika cloths. They just used a piece of clothing or a cloth. Okay, Dr. Sandoval, so welcome, but Omek, you have to put it in deeply. Meaning, how does she do? She wraps on her finger and sticks the finger into the vaginal canal. L'chorin ulistokin ad makam shamash dosh. Okay, those are two loaded phrases.
First of all, Chorin Ustakin. Do you have to check all the Chorin Ustakin or not? Meaning, what does it mean to check Chorin Ustakin? It means that, what does this mean, Lamaisa? The woman sticks the cloth in, and then she like presses and rotates her finger around like 360 degrees. Not all at once, you can't do that, but 180, like Agba. And she, by pressing all the way around, she gets all the cracks and crevices. So that's all the Chorin Ustakin. She has to do all the Chorin Ustakin. Is that true? You have to do all the Chorin Ustakin or not? The hour is late. I won't go through all the rayas from the Gemara one way or the other. But this is a three-way, in the end, Machlokes Rishonim. Says the Ravid, Bidikas Chorin Ustakin Lebala. Right? Seems pretty clear. The Gemara says when she does a Bidika before Tashmish, she's in a rush. She doesn't do the Chorin Ustakin, and therefore it doesn't count for Taurus. So the Ravid says, oh, we see here that for Taurus it doesn't count, but for Bala it counts just fine. Says the Ravid, she doesn't need Chorin Ustakin. No need for Chorin Ustakin, no big deal. Just needs to put it in a little and do a basic check. The the Smag and the Rashba and the Rush says, no, she needs Chorin Ustakin. When the Gemara says that when she's before Tashmish, she doesn't do Chorin Ustakin, it doesn't mean that's okay. It just means we're afraid she'll do the wrong thing, she won't do Chorin Ustakin. But of course she needs Chorin Ustakin, even for Metar herself for her husband. And the Ramban, once he saw these two deos, he made a pshara. Says Ramban, for hefsek tara she needs. For zayin nikiyim, hefsek tara zayin nikiyim, she doesn't need. The logic being, in hefsek tara, she's becheskes toma. She's becheskes toma rumor macher. She needs to check all the chorin stocking. In shiv nikiyim, she's already becheskes tara. She just needs to keep her cheskes tara. And then we can be making or not to chorin stocking. How do we paskin? Said the Mechaber very, very clearly that you need Chorin Ustakin. Kol Bedikos Elu. Bein Bedikos Hefzik Tara. Bedikos Kol Shiva. Why do you say Kol Bedikos Elu? La Fugif and the Ramban. We pass in both Mechaber and Ramah like the Smag and the Rashba and the Rush that you need Bedikos Chorin Ustakin. Okay, let's continue. Then there's another controversial part, which has no mucker in the Gemara. And that's called Ad Makam Shashamish Dash. You have to stick the cloth in as far as Shamish Dash is a euphemistic language. It means as far as the man's aver Tashmish goes in. However far the man's aver goes in, that's how far you have to stick the Bedika cloth. Who said that? Who made this up? Well, hard to tell. The Rush said it. But the Beis Yosef says it's not only the Rush. Do you need, says the Rush, and he also found there in Ben Yerucham, who generally quotes all the Rush. Rabbi Yerucham is super influenced by the Rush. And he also found that Agos by Manios. He says that you need Ad Makom Shehashamish Dosh. Until as far as the Aver Tashmish goes in during Tashmish. Okay, what's the problem with this Shita? But the problem is that it doesn't work. Okay, I don't know, I didn't go on the internet and check the exact centimeters of every part of the body and how it works out, but it seems to be that the Aver Tashmish is longer than the finger. And then how are you supposed to? I mean, I guess theoretically you could do anything if you really needed to, but you can't normally get it at a Makshin Shamish Dash, not to mention the fact, even if you want to put a stick, a cloth on a stick or something, I mean, it would be exceedingly difficult. It would not be practical. And that's what the Beis Yosef objects. He says, E-F-Shar. Says the Beis Yosef. He says, E-F-Shar. It's not a matter of kula. It's that you just made something up which is not found in the Gemara. I mean, I understand where they got it from. Where'd they get it from? They get it from, the Gemara says, the Beis Achitzon is Ad Makom Shashamish Dash. Right? The place where the Damnida comes out of the Bein HaShinayim, and then it's coming. It goes to the Beis Achitzon. It's defined as Ad Makom Shashamish Dash. So Rush says logically, well, wherever the Dam might be, you have to check. The Dam might be anywhere in the Beis Achitzon, you have to check the whole Beis Achitzon. So, I mean, it's a good svar. You have to check wherever the Dam might be. You don't have to check inside the Makor because it didn't come out yet. It's not a problem, right? Inside the Makor, there's a lot to be done. It's only not allowed to come outside, so you have to check the whole outside. And the Gemara says outside the Makor is on Makor Shashamish Dash.
So you have to check everywhere. Beis Yosef says cute svara, but it's not practical. Like, Mehechi Tesi, people did that. That's an impossible thing to do. So, what are we possible? Now, again, I didn't mean possible like against the laws of physics. Impossible means practically impossible, too difficult.
Isn't even at the margin obvious that, like, it's possible that it would be something that would be longer? I mean, that's just, like, a good estimation.
Correct! Like, who knows? I mean, the
you can obviously only do what's possible.
Yeah, okay, so, says the, nonetheless, Paskins of Machaber, Ad Makam Shashamash Dosh. Whoa, he's Machaber against his objection to Beis Yosef. He's afraid to be Makal, if you're old, it's Rishonim. Vitira im yesh bo shumar ed mumis. Then she checks the bedikah cloth if it has any red on it. The lo shenach seima at the kaneach hatzma. She shouldn't just put in a little to wipe herself. No, that's not good enough. Needs to be chorim nustakin and makrusha shamash dash. Vim yik shebe nama odach nizu kohar ko omek. What if it's very hard to do on makrusha shamash dash? Fachos bedikah shum hefzik tar bedikah shum risho me'ash shivet yana makrusha shamash dash. Paskins the lemaisa. Paskins the machaber. Machaber says lechatchila. Call Habdikos, and in Koshala, Rak, Hefsetara, the Yom Rishon. Here we see he's relying on Rav, right? That Yom Rishon's good enough. He said, look, we can rely on Rav, you only need Hefsetara and Yom Rishon, b'dievet. So just do it, Machshav Shamash Dash Yom Rishon and Hefsetara. Add the Ramav, you'll also get Habdikos Yom Rishon, Tasapam, Achas, Kemedikos, Sharyam. And if she didn't do it the first day, remember, we Paskin really like the right, but against the Balamor. Rav meant any day. So, Yom Echad, not Yom Rishon, right? V'Yom Rishon, and the Ramah, Yom Echad, right? You see the difference in Yom Rishon and Yom Echad, right? He says the first day, and Rav says, well, it doesn't have to be the first day, it could just be any day. Miu bidi evidem lo osa king klal, rak shabotka, atzma yof, b'chon ustakim, omek heitik v'kocha, that is what the what about b'dievet? So interesting. The Machaber doesn't say b'dievet, but says the Ramah b'dievet. Chorin u'stokin is ma'akev. Notice what he says. Chorin u'stokin is ma'akev b'dievet, right? She yafe b'chorin u'stokin. Sricha, and this is ma'akev afilu b'dievet. But ad makom she'shamish dash b'dievet. If she didn't do a makom shashamish dash, she doesn't need. What's the minhag nowadays? The minhag nowadays is that clearly bidi evid, you don't have to worry. You have to worry about chorin u'stokin, but you don't have to worry how far in you went. The minhag nowadays is that a woman should go as far in as she can. She should go as far as she can and assume that's good enough even l'chachila. So that's our minhag. Whether that's ad makom shashamish dash or not ad makom shashamish dash, I don't know. I don't know exactly what depends on all circumstances. But the minhag is that she should go in as much as she can, and that's good enough. That's the minhag. And they bring a big raya that you don't need ad makom shashamish dash. They say, how does the basula do b'dikos? Unless the Rush thinks the basula has to get some contraption where the basula, obviously there's a tiny hole in the basula, otherwise how does that need to come out until she's married? But she has to get some contraption, like some collapsible thing with like a big cloth that like fits in a small, simple shot is you go in as much as you can. And that counts as a bidika.
Not just because
the
shawish is thicker than a finger?
No.
I mean, I also love the whole.
No, ad makum is not talking about thickness, talking about length.
No, you're saying for the basula that you mean like she can't.
Oh, maybe. It depends, but it depends. Efsher. The truth is, I guess, if you really worked on it, you'd get a finger through, right? But the simple shot is that you just go as far as you can. What do we say to a basula? That she should just do whatever she can. And what do we say to a married woman? She should do whatever she can, and that's good enough. You have to chorin u'stokin. I mean, you can't just wipe. You have to, go around till the chorin u'stokin, but how far deep you have to go is just what you can. That's the minhag. Bein b'dieved, bein lechachila. Okay, what we do with the rush, unclear, but that's a minhag olam nowadays. Zayin. Hasuma bodekas atzumar lechaverta. Okay, asuma, remember, halacha, asuma has das, just has a technical problem with eyesight. So she can do her own bedikos. She's never do her own bedikos. She just obviously has to show it to someone who can see.
But what about someone that da'as ha'chareshesh she'shomas ve'inu b'daber she'shoder se'in shomas ha'rein kefikos? Ah, someone who's only deaf but talks, or only mute but hears, then they're a ben das, so they just take care of themselves. What about a deaf mute who doesn't have das, v'china shota, or someone who is insane who doesn't have das, oshinit v'daito machos choli, either she's, I guess, shota retarded, or she went insane because of, lost her mind because of disease. Tzricha, pikhos, livdok, osamukon, vestos. They have no das. Then they can't do anything because we assume that they're not neman to do bedikto. So what do they need? They need to have a intelligent woman, a bas das woman, to check them and see when they get the period, when their vestos are. Kedishin and materas lalehen. What do they have to do? You have to have a bas das check them regularly, figure out when their vestos is, and then their husband can sleep with them whenever it's not the time of their vestos. And the time of their vestos, they'll be tumeya hupul and vesering sharkol nushin. And when they get a vestos, then they're like all other women, and then they have to have, again, a bas das check them after their vestos, the hefsek tara. Local vestos. So if they have a vestos, they're returning to their husband until the vestos. If they don't have a vestos, they're returning until the onabeinus of 30 days. Oh, but what if she gets her period after 25 days, and since she doesn't have das, she doesn't notice? Okay, but we're not choshish for that, because the halacha is, if you don't know, you can assume she's a cheskes tara until 30 days. So if she has a vestos, husband can sleep with her till the vestos. If she doesn't have a vestos, he can sleep with her till onabeinus. Then he assumes she got her period. And then, bokos, they pikos, do a hefsek tara, and b'dikas shivin akiyem, to be matar her. So it's an interesting question. Chacham or metakin nisuin for heresh or hereshes. So that's obviously fine. Chacham are actually not metakin nisuin for a shota. But what if you're already married to them? So there doesn't seem to be any answer.
Why is it different than a sleeping person?
Why is it different than a sleeping person? Because even though they don't have das, they still know what's going on and understand the basic idea of tashmish. I think so. They obviously they don't have full das, right? You wouldn't call it consent at hashtag me too. But you wouldn't call it that they're not aware, right? And therefore if they're in a relationship with someone, so that's good enough. That's what we paskin that. You know, a person doesn't have to even that as long as someone's aware of what's going on, you can. That's good enough. It's already a background of consent when people are married, so it's not a problem.
So sleeping's a problem.
What? Sleeping's a problem because she doesn't know at all what's because she's not aware of a clock. It's not saying a crazy person is aware of what's going on. They can't judge it. Even a retarded person is aware of what's going on. They just don't have a good thesis on how to judge it.
It's not considered It's
not consent. Considered a problem, correct? Or whatever it is, it's lemaisa. It's not considered a problem. That the problem with sleeping is that she doesn't know what's going on bichlal, and here she knows what's going on, and that's good enough. Even though she doesn't have das, that's good enough. Yes, and even lechadchila chomer metakin nisuin for a cheresh or a chereshes.
Maybe similar to when she's groggy, right?
Right, might be similar to that. Okay. The, let's say she's shikr, but not shechrus or shalot. Although then she's still technically considered a bas das and halacha. So it's not exactly the same. Okay, but the chiddush here is you don't need real das. Okay, tes. Ha'isha shamar v'livdo bein meis v'rasa bein miyom shalom rasa v'ham reizim shabach az alfi sheish l'ves kabua. Okay, a woman who's mar v'livdo, whether it's in the Zion Nikiyim or whether it's in her Tahora period, is praiseworthy, even if she has a ves kabua, it's always praiseworthy to do extra bedikos. Okay, halacha l'maisa, that is not so poshut nowadays. Most rabbanim say you should not do extra bedikos nowadays. A, if you do too many bedikos, you can end up making a maka, and that depends on every woman. But with many women, too many bedikos will end up with a maka. And B, because we have such amaratzas about colors nowadays, you know, you can end up just asking yourself misafek, and Chazal only meant that it's praiseworthy to ask yourself when it's a vada yisr, but not to ask yourself misafek. And therefore, that's where Moshe, that some things are just machbaran, even though they're really mutter, so therefore it's not praiseworthy to get into them. So lemaisa nowadays, the standard hadracha is not to be marba with bedikos too much. Yod, Hashem and Akiyim tricha lios retzufin shlo terbim dam. Keep in mind, you can only read the first five words of this. The first five words of this are not true. That's okay. It's taken out of context. The seven Shibbutikim don't need to be Ritzufos. They don't have to be in a row. If there's some technical problem counting one of the days, like the Iltzadaka, the way we passed in, or like she has Holeta Shiklazera, then you can count days that are not next to each other. I can count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, as Shibbutikim. But you can't have blood in between. If there's blood, then that's called Soser, then you have to start all over again. Right? That's it. Shlotira Dam Bahem. They have to be at Tzufim without Dam. Imrasa Dam Afil Basofi Yashiv. She sees Dam even at the end of the seventh day. Even Mamish, the last second of the seventh day, Sosra Kal Yamim, it destroys the whole count of Shibbutikim. She lifts up Dara Lakhul Nun Shibbutikim. She has to have Satara and start all over again. Okay, the big discussion. Now that we've come into Rav Zeira, who cares that it's so ser? Anytime you see blood, you have to start Shibbutikim again. Okay, so the Taz here tries to answer it. Lamaisa, we don't have to answer that question. We could just say nowadays, for two reasons, when you see blood in Shibbutikim, you have to start all over again. Number one, because it's so ser the Shibbutikim. Number two, because after coming to Rav Zeira, whenever you see blood, you need a new Shibbutikim. Okay, so Lamaisa, if there's any blood during Shibbutikim, she has to start all over again. Now comes the Ramah with a Chumra that's not found in the Gemara. Right, and this is the last thing we're going to discuss. The famous Chumra of the Mordechai. What's the famous Chumra of the Mordechai? He says, and this is really not, it's not found anywhere in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Shibbutikim. The Gemara never, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the Gemara ever says anything about the first 3 days of Shibbutikim being different than the last 4 days. But the Mordechai has a Chiddush. He's not really the first one to say it. It's just like he's the most famous Rishon to say it. It's in the Sefer Truma also, which is before the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, you need 3 days to go from Cheskas Toma to Cheskas Tara. 3 days to go from Cheskas Toma to Cheskas Tara. Why? Because Shor HaMuad, Chazak is 3. So she did a Hefzik Tara again. So most people say once she did a Hefzik Tara, she's Bechezkas Tara. Because now she's not bleeding. But the Mordechai says, no, bleeding is an ongoing process. A Hefzik Tara is good to start, but in addition, to really be Bechezkas Tara, you need to have 1 day clean, a second day clean, a third day clean, now we can assume you're clean. But for the first 3 days, you're still Bechezkas Toma. What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is Suffolk. If you're Becheskes Tara, Suffolk is for Tara. If you're Becheskes Toma, Suffolk is for Toma. What kind of Suffolk? Says the Mordechai, Yesh Omer, and Vishloshi, Yom, Rishon, Shem, Yasphir, and Matzah Kesem, Ein Tolin, Oso, Lehakel. Moshe Tolin, Shark, Samim, Vishloshi, Yom, Rishon, Shem, Leos, Nikki, and Megamri. The first 3 days, you're not Tola Kesem. This is a tremendous Kiddush, because if you remember, some of them are Drabbanan, they sort of built in this Tlia as a special Kula. Not regular Suffolk, the Kula, it's a special Kula. Nonetheless, says the Mordechai, this is the Chumra of the Mordechai. Okay, whether it's right to call it the Chumra of the Mordechai or not, is Machlokas Achronim. But it's also found in the Sefer Truma and the Hagos Maimonios. Ein Tolin Kesem Begimel Yamin Rishonim Shel Zayinikim. Because she hasn't been mastered herself Batara yet. So, therefore, if she finds a stain, even if she was in a schlachthaus, etc., then she can't be tola, and it is metame her. That's the famous chumra of the Mordechai. says the Aval Acher Kachdinuk Shark has mechino again. Okay, says the Pesach Tshuva. Does this apply to the Davka Kesem Shigos Mikigrisva Odo, Pukli Grisva O Tola Bikina Filoshoshim Rishonim? That's only if it's more than the Grisva Oda. If it's less than Grisva Oda, then it's mutter even in the first 3 days. Why? Okay. This goes back to our other Chakir and Simen Kof Tzadi. You could say, because it's such a common thing that it would be too machmir on people if they couldn't be Tola and Lice. And that would be too hard. So we don't make a chumra on something that's too hard. Or you could say, remember Moshe, etc. No, because that's not really a Tliya. Grisva Oda is not a Tliya, it's a Shear. That used to be a Tliya, but they made it into a Shear, and therefore it doesn't change the rule of Shear. So that's clear, meaning it's still Mutter if it's Pachos Mikigris, or what are other cases where it's Mutter not because of a Tliya? What cases is a
a kesem mutter next to the taliyah, just because of a rule. For example, a colored clothing or dover shein makabel toma. That is the pischei tshuva sif katan yud beis. If it's pachmik gris or it's al dover shein o makabel toma, or it's al beged savua, meaning the technical kulas of ksanim still apply. The only kula that doesn't apply is a tliya. Lemaisa, that's not such a tremendous nafkamina for us. We don't do tliyas and ksanim so much. But it could be, meaning there are people with makas, right? Meaning we don't have schlock houses and birds and all these things, like different lifestyle and underwear. It is only if someone has a maka in the private parts. Then, Rav says, first 3 days you can't be tola. Okay, how seriously do we take this? Let's continue. Likewise, he says, if she's a maka in her guf, that she's maka, remember there are two levels of maka? And by kesem, we were told even a maka she'en yodu motzi adam. But here, if it's a maka yodu ashe motzi adam, then we're tola. Ela she'en makilu m'shloshi yom rishonu litlos maka she'en yodu ashe motzi adam v'shar dvar m'shulim em kesem k'dvar el simen kof tzadi. Says the Rama, what about? So, maka she'en yodua shem otzi adam. That's ain tolim, at least for Ashkenazim. Sephardim don't have this chumra. They never heard of this. It's not in any Sephardic Rishonim. It's not in the Gemara. What about maka sheyadua shemotzi adam? Says the Rama, tolim. Even though in the Darkei Moshe he was a little afraid, he says maybe only if you're stuck. Lamaisa in the Shulchan Aruch he was comfortable. He said we are tola. Who famously argued on him? The Shach. Says the Shach, ain't tolin. Says the Shach, we're not tola. What's the only exception the Shach perhaps admits based on his reading of the Bach? Unless it's motzia dam tamin. Yes, you're right, Mati. Says the Bach, someone's mukashchin or mukashchin, and he's always bleeding. That's more. Yodush motzia dam means we don't know he's bleeding every second. Means we know it's bleeding every few hours. You know, but what if it's mamish bleeding all the time? Then the shach is moded. It's unclear if he's moded just because efshar, or if he's moded because that's such a strong taliyah that how can you not be tola? Probably the, right? But and then we have another interesting machlokas. Says the Rama, this is a chumra biyama. Why? Because here we have a fascinating question. What's the authority of this chumra? Or what's the koach of this chumrah? Says the Rama, it's a chumrah bi'alma of minority of Rishonim. It's a chumrah bi'alma. Says the Rama, we shouldn't be too machmer on this. It's a chumrah bi'alma of a couple Rishonim. Says the Shach, no. It's a psak halacha. Only minority of Rishonim said so. What does the Shach say back to the Rama? Here's a famous lashon: Yilmat Sosa min haMefurish. We can extrapolate to the Stam from the Mefurish. After all, every other Rishon didn't say explicitly not this way; they just didn't say anything. So, what does it mean if every other Rishon didn't say anything? 90% of Rishonim said nothing. What does that mean? Says the Rama: 90% of Rishonim disagree. It's a Chomer B'Yalma. 10% of Rishonim said the Shach. 90% said nothing. So, Mustama, they agree until proven otherwise. That's a tremendous chiddush. It's really hard to believe that. Really? Like the Ravid who never heard of such an idea, which had no Makor and Shas, Mestama believes this because he didn't say otherwise? He said, no, how can anyone think this? So he didn't say otherwise. He also he didn't say that you shouldn't ride an elephant to the mikvah. Because no one would. Okay, so, but that's, if he says that, min hastam, all Rishonim agree. That, according to him, this is a much more serious deal, which is why he's reluctant to be Makel. Okay, he's reluctant to be Makel. He says, well, we showed him agree to this. Agav, interestingly, the Taz says here, based on the Darkei Moshe, he says, it doesn't depend on the strength of the Tliya. Rather, he says, what does it depend on?
whether it's Efshar. If it's Efshar lahachmir, machmirim. If it's Efshar lahachmir, ain machmirim. And he says that's what his father-in-law the Bach meant. Meaning, if someone's never going to get to mikvah, then they could be makel and be tola. If it's going to take him another 3 days, then say they'll wait 3 days. So he says, look, the chumar bialma, it doesn't depend if it's a strong flea or weak flea. It just depends if it'll cost them a few days or they'll never go to mikvah. The Ramasim say, no, a strong flea is good, only a weak flea we don't do. And the Shach says, no flea. Except maybe this one exceptional case. And again, I'm not sure if he means because that's super EF, sure. My netiyas, I think he means just because that's a super flea. Okay, halacha l'maisa.
Is the Shach even not there? Because Ramah is saying that even talking about the first 3 days. Is the Shach?
No, we're all the first 3 days. No one's talking about days 4 through 7. They're all talking about the first 3 days. The there are some kulas in the. We're not going to go through every Pesach Tshuva, but I already did Yud Beis, which is the most important. I want to just discuss Yud, and I'll skip Yud Gimel. I will skip Yud Dalid. Yeah, let's just discuss briefly. Yud, say the Achronim, since this is really a Chumrah, it only applies to a real period. If she was only Tmei originally because of a Kesem, or because of Dam Besulim, or because of Dam Chimud, then we don't have to keep this Chumrah. Okay, but most women are Tmei because of a real period, right? Halacha l'maisa, who do we pass like? Rama or Shach, big nafkamina. So this is a big machlokas, says the Badei Shulchan. He says, if you can, you should be machmer like the Shach. However, most achronim passing like the Ramah here, the Chachmas Adam, and even if you look at the Torah Shlom Yudal says the Shach was Herik the Hasig Al Din Zeh etc. Of MS Ain't Var Mukhochim Klal Vuksom Sham Lahakel. Most Achronim are maker like the Ramah. Lemaisa we paskin like the Ramah against the Shach. Badi Yeshochim likes to be Machmer. He doesn't say 100%. He says if you can, you should be Machmer. But we paskin no. We paskin like the Ramah. Therefore, if it's a far out Tliya, then in the first 3 days we keep this. And we also paskin it's just a Chomer Bialma. And not that that's a psak issue, right? That's just a habana issue. But we pass like the Ramah, and we say that, no, if it's a strong plea, you can be told that even in the first 3 days. Only a weak plea. So if you mamish have a real makadis, we'll see a dam, you can be told even in the first 3 days. And by Mr. Mary Williams, since this is a chumar bialma, you could be flexible and makel about where to draw the line. If it's a far-out plea, then no. But if it's a good tli of a makash yadush mitzi adam, at least reasonably so, then you can be making on the first 3 days, and since this is a chumar b'yalma, which really is no mucker and shas, we don't have to take it further than necessary. Okay. It's amazing the incentive that handing out that schedule does for me, right? It shows you the koach of Nedarim. Even though it's plea netter, of course. Okay, let me tell you one gudel story. I have 2 minutes, I arbitrarily decided I ended 5 when my old rights I should end 4 or something, but save it. I'll tell you a fascinating story that I heard. I have a friend. I hesitate to call him a friend because he's a big tzaddik in Talmud Chacham, and I strive to be a big tzaddik in Talmud Chacham, but I'm not there yet. Named Zeli Prag, who comes from Shari Chesed. And he was sitting shiva for, I believe, his mother in her apartment, Shari Chesed. Downstairs, she had like a side apartment, which she rented to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach for many decades as his secret base medrash where he can learn and no one knew where he was. Only he and Rav Nevensal knew that that apartment existed and he had Sfarim there and that was his secret apartment. She almost lost him at a certain point after a decade or two. He came and said, I'm moving my Sfarim out. I can't rent from you anymore. He says, why? Am I not a good balabais? He says, you haven't raised the rent on me in 10 years. And that's not the rules of the shuk, and I feel like I'm a ganif because you're not raising the rent, probably because I'm a big rabbi. You're not raising the rent because you're intimidated, so I don't want to steal. So she said, okay, fine, I'll raise the rent if you'll stay. So he stayed. He told me an interesting story that he knew someone who was opening this tour company from people he was targeting, from young couples. The tour Eretz Yisrael. No, they come from what source? Torah Eretz Yisrael. So this, he went to Rishlom Zama, says, can I have a bracha for my company? He says, tell me what you're going to do. And he told him what he's doing. He says, I'll give you a bracha on one condition. He said, I would do whatever you said without a condition. Of course I'll do whatever you say. You know, so he said, he says, every day, I want you to look in your schedule, see when the end of the day is, and have a very mechubad mincha stop. You should announce every morning that we're going to stop at, 6 o'clock for mincha. We're going to have a 20-minute mincha break, and you should stop someplace where there's good bathroom facilities, and they can sit and relax, and they get a drink if they need. And so that's, and has to be the end of the day every day, right? The end of the day life has to be a mincha break at a proper rest stop. So he said, okay, fine. But he says, but why? Why can't I make a mincha break at 1 o'clock? Why can't we dump mincha on a mountaintop, which is very inspiring? Why do you make this condition? Shlomo Zalman said, you said you're going to have young couples there. You know how it is for the young kallahs when they get married? They have the hefzik taras and the bedikos before shkia, and they get very nervous about it. And all day long, they're going to be sitting there, and you're going to be teaching them the flaws of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be nervous. How am I going to do my hefzik tara, and where am I going to be, and how am I going to do it, and what time is it going to be? This way, if you announce every morning there's a 20-minute mincha break before shkia, they'll be relaxed. They'll know they'll have a nice bathroom where they can, or at least nice enough, where they can do their hefzik or their bedikah before shkia, and they won't have to worry and be nervous all day long. So that was the tanai of Rosh Shlomo Zalman for this fellow. So my friend who's sitting here pointed out to me that he said that Rosh Shlomo Zalman must have been in his 70s or 80s at the time. It had been a long time since his wife had worried about hopping a hefzik tara or a shiv nekiyim. It was not, most people at that age would forget about the whole thing. But this is a sensitivity of a gadol that even though, he kind of been in this parsha for 30 years, he remembers that it makes people very nervous and it could ruin their experience and make them uncomfortable, and therefore you should have sensitivity to that. True story, if you knew the person who told it, you would understand why it has to be 100% true.